You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome back to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Sam Norris here, standing in for Dave Kellner this week, but Dave Tindall alongside me to take a look ahead to this week's action. And of course, it's a big week on the European Tour, the big weekend on the European Tour, the BMW Championship at Wentworth, very much the jewel in the crown in the golfing world this week. We'll also have a word on the PGA Tour event as well, which is the Sanderson Farms Championship, a little bit later on in the podcast. But first of all, Dave, how are you?
Yeah, very well. Sam, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Delighted that DK has actually left me a good week for a change, because usually...
I thought you could end that sentence at left me.
Well, indeed. Yeah, yeah, and that. But usually he plans his holidays around the lesser golfing events and...
Yeah, he's not thought it through, has he?
Yeah, exactly, time? Yeah. But really looking forward to Wentworth this week, Dave. Always a great spectacle.
Yeah, and obviously the change in date is kind of... We've kind of saved it up. Normally this is played in May, but because of the move of the... US PGA Championship, they had to find a new slot for this, so it's kind of, oh, it's great, we've got this one still in the bag, because obviously the season in America finished and now it's started again, but with sort of low-key events, when Europe, it's, you know, we've got some really big events to come, and this, it's great to have this one. It used to be in October, didn't it, when it was a match play there, but now it's good to have it back. And obviously the danger of moving it back to this time of year is the weather, but fingers crossed, I think we're going to get good weather, aren't we?
Yeah, it's been all right.
Certainly now
moment.
Nice here in Leeds today, but yeah. Looking at the forecast, yeah, it's sort of in the 20s, but in a sort of grim week, it could have been just horrible, windy and
could
wet,
have been, yeah.
But I think we're going to be all right.
Yeah, hopefully the weather is set fair down in Surrey this week. And in general, Dave, I think I'm in agreement with its new position on the calendar. It's not to everyone's taste, but then a lot of people just don't like change full stop, do they? I think I like it where it is. As you say, it means we can give it... plenty of attention, and it's not lost amongst other events. Not that it was ever lost in May,
but I know what you're
there's
saying,
a lot
yeah.
going on that time of year.
Yeah, if you kind of break it down by month, you've got something every month, haven't you,
yes.
From kind of April, and then May you had the Players' Championship as well, which maybe slightly clashed with it. And I think if you just look at the field, that shows you that the players are happy it's moved. They don't have to sort of juggle it around. They're thinking, all right, we've got a free hit at this. So you've got... You know, all the top players there. You've got a few Americans have come over as well. So I think it's really benefited, the move.
Certainly so. More on the BMW Championship a little bit later on. Firstly, we'll wrap up last week's action. Starting on the PGA Tour last week, a maiden tour victory for Joaquin Niemann, who was victorious last week and spanked the field, really. He was six clear of the rest after rounds of 65, 62 and 68, and then 64, left him 21 under par, making history as well. He was the first Chilean winner on the PGA Tour. A good putting performance, David, at a track that he's gone well at before.
Yeah, it's one of those, sometimes you have these little X factors in golf where you look beyond form and course form, and for him, that was the scene of his first event as a pro.
Right.
And then he got his card there last year. So he's always gone there and something good happened.
Okay, yeah.
Plus, he was also trying to catch Ernie Els's eye and get a place on the President's Cup team. That's coming up in December, I think, in Australia. So he had lots of incentive, lots of good vibes, and had the form coming in. We did give him a fair mention on the podcast last week. I think I was saying that he will win one soon, but unfortunately we didn't pull the trigger on him that week. Thinking about it, I don't quite know why. I think maybe he'd gone off at that price. He was about 22, 25.
Yeah.
He'd gone off at that price a lot of times and maybe not quite got it done. And you're thinking, is he really great value? But obviously when they go in at that price, it suddenly seems quite big, doesn't it?
It certainly does, yeah. It was a great watch as well, really, because there was loads happening. Obviously the margin of victory in the end was a fairly substantial one, but there was an incredible amount of history being made over the course of the weekend. Of course, I mentioned there that he was the first Chilean winner on the PGA Tour. We saw a sub 60 round from Kevin Chappell, and they're obviously an extreme rarity in themselves.
Yep.
We saw a hole in one from Sung Jae Im. There was lots going on. Victor Hovland also set a new record as well for consecutive rounds in the 60s. Sorry, tied a record for consecutive rounds in the 60s with his 64.
So, I didn't know that one.
Yeah, there was a hell of a lot going on. 17 straight rounds now on the PGA Tour for Hovland in the 60s. Yeah. He struggled to do it on the Corn Ferry Championship where I backed him a few weeks ago.
Right.
But yeah, 17 consecutive rounds in the 60s on the PGA Tour. So,
and he's playing at Wentworth this week.
Indeed, yeah. 25-1 chance, isn't he? So there was loads happening.
Yeah, that 59 obviously was the standout.
Yeah.
And Kevin Chappell had been out with a bad back, so he suddenly came back and could do no wrong. So it always makes that event an interesting one because you can get players coming from a mile back. I remember, I think in the first edition, Stuart Appleby was a long way back and he shot 59 to win. And I think it was Jeff Overton who was the leader, shot 67, and he's got hammered still. And he's thinking, blimey, that's a bad beat. But yeah, always good to see 59. It's a little bit of magic around that. I think it was the 11th on tour, something like that.
Really? I didn't realise there'd been quite as many as that.
It's one of those.
Jim Furyk had a 58 somewhere, didn't he?
Yeah, a couple of years ago. It used to be you could sort of name the first two, and that was, I think it was Al Geiberger in 1979 and David Duval did one in 1999.
Okay.
And you think, oh, we're only going to get these every 20 years. But now I think as players get better and scores get lower, they're not exactly 10 a penny, but you don't quite fall over in amazement. Although we've only had one ever on the European Tour, so and that was only last year.
To be fair, I suppose there's a lot of courses on the PGA Tour which lend themselves to really low
if
scores.
If someone's really on and hole in the putts, they can do it.
And one final piece on that as well. Neiman also became one of only two players born outside of the US to win on tour, the PGA Tour, before turning 21 in the last 95 years. And I'm going to ask you to try and name the other two.
Will I get it?
The other two. Yeah, they're both very big names in the sport.
Born outside the US.
Born outside of the USA to win a PGA Tour event before turning 21.
Seve?
Yep.
Born outside the US. I'm trying to think if someone's American who was sneakily born in Italy or something.
No, think more European. It'll be a fairly obvious one when I
Rory?
Tell you. It is Rory, yeah. Right. Well done. Well done, Dave. Yeah.
This was not rehearsed.
I dropped that on Dave, hoping to catch him out, and I'm furious that I haven't been able to do so. Quick word on last week's European Tour as well. From Neiman winning his maiden title on the PGA Tour, we had a man on the European Tour who's tasted victory a fair few times. Sergio Garcia was picking up his 16th win on the European Tour last week, won by a shot. A welcome win, I suppose, for Garcia. It's been a year since he'd won anything, and probably made the headlines over the course of last year for the wrong reason on a couple of occasions. So good for him to be back in the winner's enclosure.
Yeah, he struggled in America this year, and you kind of think the overall picture of him, you think of as he's having a bad year. But when he goes back to Europe, it's almost like he can drop back in class and suddenly he can, his kind of average to good golf does well again. He was seventh at Valderrama, which is kind of on his home patch. He did okay at Kranz and here, I think he was 16s. And again, for Sergio in that field, again, in hindsight, if you were just back in class rather than form is temporary and all that kind of thing, he was a price there. And it was his first appearance in the event, but it was a new course, so no one really had an advantage in that sense. But he's a very, very good front runner. I was looking, when he has the 54-hole lead, he converts more times than not. And if you look at players' records, some are quite ropey, but Sergio's brilliant as a front runner.
That's quite interesting for a player who, for a long time, particularly majors, we kind of had in the bottler bracket for quite a while. But actually, perhaps not the case when you look at the numbers.
I went down and he's either winning or coming second all the time. And mostly those are wins. I think that was maybe the sixth time in the last eight that he'd converted.
Okay.
So, it is a bit of a false kind of idea, and maybe I didn't actually check the in-running prices on the final day, but maybe could have backed him at a price on his history.
Possibly so. On to this week's events then. Of course, a big week for the European Tour, the BMW Championship taking place at Wentworth, a course that's obviously much revered, has held the event since its inception. We're paying six places each way on this one this week, the flagship event on the European Tour, and it's attracted most of the big names in European golf. Rory McIlroy is the 11-2 favourite, 10-1 for John Rahm. Paul Casey is 14-1, 16-1 Justin Rose, 18-1 Tommy Fleetwood, 22-1 Henrik Stenson. Matt Wallace is 25-1 with Patrick Reed. Matt Fitzpatrick is 25-1, as is Victor Hovland. Francesco Molinari is 25-1, won the event last year. Tony Finau, 25-1 with Shane Lowry, 33s and bigger prices for the rest of them. Played on the Wentworth West course, which is a 7,284-yard par 72. And looking back through the last few kind of winners of this event, Dave, it's not a course that appears to favour a particular profile of player. We've had all sorts of winners winning here.
Yeah, you've had some kind of slightly strange winners, but often you do get a classy winner. Was on Molinari added to that.
Yep.
Last year, Rory's won there before. So lots of famous names on that trophy. Which you often see in the big events. The big names just seem to maybe put that bit more in. Yep. and they're hard to beat. But yeah, I mean, this week, great field. It's actually the first points of the Ryder Cup qualification. Yep. So I think that's someone like Ian Poulter, that will obviously got his attention, even though he's traditionally not like this event and course. But I think when someone told him that, he thought, right, I'll be there.
Yeah, indeed.
Plus, maybe he doesn't clash with his American schedule as well.
Funny as you mentioned that as well. I was reading Ben Coley's piece just before we started the podcast, and he makes a good case for Shane Lowry along similar kind of lines, because Padraig Harrington's obviously going to be the captain in 2020. Yeah. And it's a Ryder Cup Shane Lowry would dearly love to be involved in. So it is worth pointing out that the race to the Ryder Cup starts this week.
Yeah, they will be, you know, that will be part of the scenario, and they'll all be aware of that. And Lowry's got a great course record here as well, so he's certainly one to look at.
On to the selections for yourself then, Dave. Again, as I mentioned earlier, we've had different kinds of winners here. It's not a course where I feel like you have to do X, Y, and Z. You don't have to be this kind of golfer, that kind of golfer. A variety of different playing styles can win here as well.
Yeah, if you look at someone like Luke Donald, won it back-to-back, and he's not a very long hitter. And I've kind of got that in mind with my first pick, because he's not a long hitter, but he's someone who can plot his way around. Lots of excellent results this year and recently, and that's going to be Matthew Fitzpatrick.
Okay,
at 25-1. If you look at his Wentworth record, I think before he came here, you think, yeah, he's that plotting type who should really like this test. 47th on debut, 12th 2 years ago, 8th last year, and you can see he's just starting to build a nice record there. Tends to play really well in England as well. He won the British Masters in 2015, 16th there this year as well, and 11th the year before. And recently, he's just looked like a winner waiting to happen. He should have won the BMW International Open in Germany at the end of June. Then he played well in the Scottish Open, the Open Championship as well, top 20 there as well. Then fourth in St Jude in a world-class field, World Golf Championship event. Runner-up again in the Scandinavian Invitation 2 starts ago. All his only sort of blemish of late was he made a bit of a hash of his defence of the European Masters in Switzerland, but you can sort of forgive him that. That's the anomaly, really. So I think Fitzpatrick, he's got a really cool head on him. This course should suit, plays well in front of his own English fans. I think he would be a worthy winner on that list of champions.
25-1 for Matt Fitzpatrick, then the first pick this week. How many have you got, incidentally, here?
I'm going to go with three this week.
Tell us about pick number two, then.
Yeah, pick number two is just a guy who's been in fantastic form in the last few months. Bernd Wiesberger,
yep.
The Austrian, won the Made in Denmark. He had a long time out through injury, and people were sort of waiting, when do we back him? Do we wait until he's, you know, come second, then, or do you chance him? And a few chanced him at that, because he'd hinted but not quite made a convincing case. I think he'd only finished 70th at the British Masters a couple of weeks earlier, but he went out and won that Made in Denmark, and then he was runner-up at the Irish Open, won the Scottish Open, fantastic, rocketed up the race to Dubai, back with a bang. Then he just had a little bit of a dip, but the last time we saw him, he was fifth at the European Open in Germany a couple of weeks ago, shot a final round 64. What's telling there as well is that I think if you look at the stats, you've said different sorts of player can do well here. The one stat that runs through all his winners is they hit a lot of greens in regulation.
Right.
And he, Wiesberger, ranked first for greens in reg in the European Open a couple of starts ago. So that is his kind of forte, and he's doing that part of his game. It's spot on at the minute. So in terms of course form, it's not amazing, but he's made five of his last six cuts there. He was 12th in 2013, 15th in 2016. So I think he's done enough there to think if he goes there in hot form, which he's been showing over the last few months, he can really make an impression. So he's going to be my second pick at 35s.
So we've got Matt Fitzpatrick at 25s, Bernd Wiesberger at 35-1. Who completes the set?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many you can give a chance to, but the one I'm going to finish with, I hope, is still 66-1. Yes, he is. It's Joost Luiten.
Okay.
He obviously played in the KLM Open last week, which is his home event in the Netherlands, and did okay. He's played well there before. He's won it twice, but it's obviously quite a big week for him. There's a lot of pressure on him, and he has plenty to deal with. So I thought 10th was another good effort there, really. And it follows on from 22nd in Switzerland, 29th in Sweden, 32nd at the Open Championship. So in terms of progressive form, he's getting better by the week, literally. So again, you look at his stats. He was first for greens in regulation last week. Tick, that's a really good sign. First for greens in reg at the Scandinavian Masters, so he's really hitting his irons pure at the minute. And course form here, he's got a 12th and an 11th in two of his last five. He's also got another top 25 in there. Shot rounds of 65, 67 a couple of times of late, so plays the course well. I just thought it was a bit of value. A bit like Wiesberger, he had a spell out injured, and then he's come back, and again, we're kind of waiting for him to really kick in. And with this form, I mean, he's slowly, it's not like he's going to surprise us. He's saying, there you are, my form is exposed, it's there, and mix it in with course form. And just the manner of the fifth place, it was achieved with good iron play. I just like, it was not like he just fluked it and held a load of putts. He did, you know, he did the main thing really well, the bit that's probably going to be more reliable and hold up. So you Slouten as my third pick at 66-1, but I could have had about 10 picks, Sam, to be honest. Have you got one?
I was waiting until after this podcast to hear your thoughts, right. and then I thought I'd steal your selections. Worth mentioning Victor Hovland, whether he's a pick or not for me in this event. I'm not sure at that price of 25-1. I think this is his European Tour debut event.
Yeah.
He's obviously caught the eye on the PGA Tour and been playing the Korn Ferry Tour a little bit as well. His ascent toward the world's top 100 has been rapid, and he's going to be of interest to many people this week. I think he was an interesting runner in the field for me, maybe not at that price.
Yeah, I think same here. An interesting watch to see how he goes, but he's kind of, nothing's been given away by throwing him in at 25s, is it? There's no sort of price.
It's a very defensive price,
yeah,
isn't it?
I think so. Yeah, it fully reflects how well he's been playing.
Yeah, indeed. You must have had a fairly long shortlist coming into this. Were there any near misses in terms of a selection? As you say, you can hand chances to plenty of them. We've got pretty much the cream of the crop of European golf at the top of the betting.
You have. I mean, he started at the very top. Rory's just won all that money, hasn't he, at the FedEx Cup, and then he was runner-up in Switzerland. 11-2, he's won here before. John Rahm, seeing the course for the first time, but he is sort of brilliant in Rolex Series events. I think he's won three or four of them already, so he loves this. Paul Casey's won here twice before, one of them in match play, and he's just won again in Germany. He's in form. Justin Rose is a little bit off, I think, at the minute. He's one who I wouldn't rush to back. Tommy Fleetwood always says he likes the course, but he's only got one decent performance there,
so
I don't know, maybe just find some trouble. Henrik Stenson has missed it a lot of times down the years, but when he has played it recently, he's done quite well. And if you're thinking good iron play, you'd think of him. But I might just be something in the visuals where he doesn't quite think it's his best course. Molinar is not in the same form he was last year. Matt Wallace got a good result last week, but he said he wasn't really on it. He was third. And then you've got some of the Americans, Reed and Finau. Not quite sure. I'll throw one back at you.
Yeah.
There's only been one American winner, or the last one, who very, very famous. Hugely famous.
Hugely famous. Yeah. Is it Tiger?
I think older. Well, he won it in the 70s.
Oh,
you'll know it Arnold Palmer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was thinking Arnold Palmer, and I couldn't remember if the 70s was his era or not.
It's sort of back end of his era.
Before.
Yeah, I don't know. For whatever reason, the Americans haven't got a brilliant record in this event. Alex Noren, the Swede, he won it with a 62, which was some effort. And on you go, really. Billy Horsell's from America as well. He's there. Rafa Cabrera Bayo, I like, at 50s. Yeah. He was one I did look at. He's got some good form here and played well. In the St. Jude, he played nicely there and played well in Europe over the summer. And inevitably, there'll be someone around at a big price who does well. The one that I thought at a big price, at 125, was Christian Bezuidenhout, okay. the South African. He won at Valderrama, which is tree-lined and tight off the tee. And he's just... I think we've kind of forgotten that that was fairly recent, and that's a big price for someone. Because, you know, proper winners, when you win at Valderrama, that's a proper win.
Yeah.
And he won there. And then he had a dip, which is quite common. But then last time out, he was 12th. So it's his course debut. That's probably a reason why he's so big. But I think if you wanted to play a big old price, he'd be the one I think you'd look at. You could play him in side markets as well, yeah. Top 10.
Plenty to consider there then, but Matt Fitzpatrick, Bernd Wiesberger and Joost Luiten get the pick for Dave in the European Tour event this week. We have got a PGA Tour event going on. The Sanderson Farms Championship also takes place. It's another event that we're betting six places on, a fifth of the odds. And last week's winner, Joaquin Niemann, is the 12-1 favourite here. Sung Jae-im is 14-1, who obviously held that ace last week. Brant Snedeker is 18-1. It's 22-1 and bigger for the rest of them. This is being hosted for the sixth time at the Country Club of Jackson in Mississippi, a 7,420-yard par 72. A smattering of former champions in the field. This is obviously going to go under the radar somewhat, this event this week. Dave, have you got a pick in it?
I've kind of got an idea of the type of player I want to bat. I've done quite well in this event down the years.
Okay.
I tend to look, it's a bit of a birdie fest, which makes it hard to find the winner because someone's got a hot putter that week. But I think Dave had the winner last year, actually, Cameron Champ at 50s, which was good. Made a very absolute bunch of birdies. So I'd be looking at someone who's posted some low numbers in recent rounds, and a lot of those have been on the Corn Ferry. Just looking down some of the lists, there's Grayson Murray, Denny McCarthy have shot 61s recently. Byung Hwanan shot 62 recently. Guys have gone really low. I've got that in recent memory. Would be the one to look at. I'm looking at Zach Blair at a big price. I think he's 125s.
I think you are correct.
He's got some...
125-1.
He won the Ellie May Classic on the Corn Ferry in August. And then he was 9th in another Corn Ferry recently. And he was 18th on his last start here. He's a big price. You can see my list here. There's about 15 players on it. But when I went through them, I was just jotting down players who evidence that they've gone really low of late. So that would be the sort of style to look at. But I think, I'm going to focus my staking plan and my little allocated money this week is going to go on Wentworth, I think.
Yeah, interesting stats on the Sanderson Farms Championship as well. Six of the past seven winners have been winning this event as their first tour win.
First time
Cameron Champ was obviously a case in point last year. I think in years gone by, this has played second fiddle to another PGA event normally in the calendar.
It's an alternate one normally, opposite event,
This year they get their own week, but they're somewhat overshadowed, of course, by the big event in Europe. So it wouldn't be a surprise if this does go to a first time winner.
I think with this event, if you look down the years, you're not getting the favourites winning, so you've got a bit of carte blanche to look at 50-1 and above, even around hundreds, even up to 200s you can look at.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be backing Niemann again at 12s. I mean, he might make a fool of me, but historically, it's gone to a bit of an outside. I think it's some of the guys who've come hot off the Corn Ferry tour ones to look at.
Yeah. Don't forget that is another event that we're paying six places on each way at a fifth of the odds. A whole host of sporting markets as well ahead of this week's golf, the two tournaments that we mentioned there. Before we wrap up, Dave, how do you play the BMW Championship then in terms of stakes?
Yeah, so main pick, Matthew Fitzpatrick, 25-1. I'm going to go a point and a half each way. Then Bernd Wiesberger at 35s, I'll go a point each way at that. And then Joost Luiten, I'll also have a point each way at 66s.
Good stuff. Matt Fitzpatrick, Bernd Wiesberger and Joost Luiten, then the three choices for Dave in the BMW Championship coming up this week at Wentworth. Make sure you check out the full range of markets here at William Hill ahead of the big one coming up at Wentworth this week. Dave, thank you very much for that. Pleasure as always, and best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.